Yesterday, I was very honored and privileged that I attend a wedding. Chloe and Kobe, both of them, they were baptized and confirmed this Easter Vigil. And they also received the gifts from St. George in front of our entire congregation when Bishop was visiting us. So Father James gave a little sermon during their wedding ceremony. And he pointed out, in fact, our Christian faith is a journey of love. When we talk about journey, so it has a starting point and it has an ending. And this journey also has a direction. It has a starting point, so we might look at this center aisle in a different way. The whole configuration, when you see the center aisle, the beginning point, the starting point is at the back, and the ending point is the altar table where God's presence is. And also we are provided by the means to get there, which is the way. So it is often a statement concluded in this way: to the Father, through the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. As I see most of you are nodding and chuckling, and I have to point out, today is the Trinity Sunday. The concept of Trinity is, on one hand, kind of difficult to describe. And a lot of friends, they would ask, especially in Mandarin ministry, they just starting feeling and pursuing their faith. Often they would ask, so I'm confused. Who is the Father? Who is Jesus? Who is the Holy Spirit? In fact, I can rephrase this question. Who is the God that we are worshiping? How come the doctrine of Trinity, the concept of Trinity, is so important? How come there is only one God and yet have three persons? Indeed, it sounds profound and difficult. However, we as Christians, we have this real feeling. Oftentimes, during our prayer or our worship to God, we use those names. We constantly, probably unconsciously, we replace the name Almighty God, Heavenly Father, and sometimes our Lord Jesus Christ, and sometimes Holy Spirit. And we use these names so often, we don't feel it sounds confusing. Do you? No. And our experience, it is so natural, as if we were oppressed to worship God. We were oppressed to pray to God. It's a natural thing to us. I have some comfort news for you. Not only ordinary believers, but also as a teacher of Israelites, Nicodemus has this puzzle and confusion. So it's very normal. In today's gospel, on one hand, Nicodemus asked Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." So Nicodemus knows that Jesus is somehow sent or from God. However, when Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above," Nicodemus couldn't understand. How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? He's totally confused. Indeed, Trinity is a mystery, but not a secret. Trinity is a mystery, but not a secret. You cannot find the word Trinity through our entire Bible, through the scriptures. However, the concept of Trinity, the doctrine of Trinity, is already there, perhaps undetected. However, it is full of our faith, full of our Bible, the concept. And sometimes I'm asked, can you just simplify the idea of God? For it's too complicated. If you simplify the concept of God, maybe we can have a simple faith? The answer to that is, unfortunately, by no means. Because if the concept of God is simplified, we don't end up with the simple faith we presume we can have. Rather, we end up with no faith at all. Here, I would like to go back to the analogy of St. Patrick's. When St. Patrick's was sharing gospel in Ireland, he used one plant that is very common, and now it represents the nation of Ireland, the shamrock. It has three cloves, but one leaf, three. You cannot pick either one or either two to say this is a leaf of shamrock, because it is not true. It has to be three, all of them. So it gives us some broad picture how Trinity is. We cannot to make ourselves comfortable just to think, "Oh, just know Jesus is fine." Or we think God is almighty, just the Father is enough. No, it doesn't work that way. It has to be all of them. So I like to share with you, what if we choose any one of the cloves, anyone, and what happened? What could happen? If we perceive God as the immortal, invisible, omnipotent, omniscient being who brought this world into existence, but is not part of it, all those adjectives are great. However, this God, when he is known for being outside of space and time, eternal, right? He is not able to become involved with it. What does it mean? It implies this God, we have to discover it by ourselves, rather than a God who makes himself known to us. It implies that a God who is always beyond us, not a God who comes to meet us where we are as we are. It implies this God is a static God rather than a dynamic God. It implies that a God who can create but cannot redeem. When we are sitting in our sanctuary, oftentimes in the traditional church, we call it nave. And usually the beams reflects a boat. Even though St. George is a quite contemplative building, we can still see the element here, the water. And through that the glass window, we understand why the sanctuary is called nave. In the Old Testament, there is a boat, the Ark of Noah. And in the New Testament, the boat is Jesus Christ. He was with his disciples in a boat when it was sinking. However, Jesus calmed the storm. Today, all of us, we are either in a storm or we are on our way to our next storm. But Jesus, who meet us in this storm, can calm all of our storm. When you look at the world, we will say, the world is crazy. We are just remembering what happened in front of our church. And last week, at a restaurant in Mississauga, what happened? Those innocent people, including children, the world is crazy. Either we know it or we have no idea. We don't know what kind of storm we are about to enter. But Jesus can meet us in this storm. Perhaps in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, verse 16, is the most familiar and most famous quotation for almost all Christians. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. But I don't think a lot of us can continue reciting the following verse, verse 17, which provides the cause and the means of the previous verse. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. How can we understand God's will and God's plan and God's work? We cannot. Jesus said, we must reborn, which means we must be born from the above, which means we must be born of the Spirit. But in terms of it, when we don't have the Spirit in us, when we are not of the Spirit, we cannot understand it at all. Jesus says, if we do not understand the earthly things, how can we understand the heavenly things? It is not the doctrine of Trinity which underlies the Christian faith, but the living God who we encounter through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. This God who is the Trinity. Now, let us look at the way again. This center aisle, which leads to the altar, this way is made by Jesus. He opened his flesh to make a straight way, so we are free and able to come to God. Nothing can prevent us going to God. Because Jesus says, I am the way. And it also, it is not our credit. When we look, we can find that when we begin our search for God, it is God who helps us to find him. In our beautiful chapel, there is a stained glass. It's the portrait of a prodigal son, the parable of Jesus. At the caption, there is a line. The father says, he was lost, but now is found. Did the prodigal son, all of a sudden, he becomes smart and he finds his way back? No. He was led by God. One of the lines of a famous popular Christian hymn, Amazing Grace, the line goes like this. I once was lost, but now am found. Every one of us does the conversion of sinner is because what we suddenly figure it out? No. From the very beginning, it is God who put us there. There is no coincidence we can come into our church. It is God who sets us on the right path. It is God who directs us and provides us with the means we need to find him. God is involved from the beginning to the end for our search for him, for our encounter with him. It may be that we do not recognize God fully for who he is and what he is doing. But the fact remains that he is involved. At every stage, God is already there. My dear brothers and sisters, probably Trinity, the theology, is so profound. It is so difficult. But we, as Christians, it is very important. Our faith, our pure faith, our simple faith, is founded on this foundation. The one we worship, the one we look for, the one who leads us is this Trinity God. Today is the Trinity Sunday, the Sunday after Pentecost. So we understand it is not by our own credit. I have to tell you, how comfort it is to me, because I know I cannot count on myself. But when I find out the beginning, the end, and in the middle of it, I'm led by God. I'm always with God. I'm not an orphan. I'm so relieved. In this, I have the full assurance that I am saved. I have the utmost freedom. And in this, I have this confidence. Whatever storm that I am in, whatever storm that I am about to get in, it's okay. Because God is greater than any of the storms on this earth. We just sang it. God is enthroned in the midst of the flood. Amen.